Trofinco's Valor Program for veteran entrepreneurs is especially tailored to support veterans in transitioning to business ownership with dedicated financial solutions and resources. For traveling entrepreneurs, the program offers flexibility and support in funding, critical for those exploring new markets. Business owners will find the personalized approach and understanding of veteran needs invaluable for expanding operations or starting new ventures. Empower your entrepreneurial journey with the Valor Program and turn your business vision into reality. New U-Life Somaderm Gel. Travelers and business owners can benefit from enhanced energy levels and improved sleep quality. Crucial for adjusting to new time zones and maintaining peak performance during business operations. Entrepreneurs will appreciate the potential anti-aging effects, supporting a dynamic, youthful appearance vital for first impressions. Click here now to revitalize your body's natural rhythms and present your best self in every meeting and adventure.
Welcome to the Sales Platoon Podcast, where strategy meets storytelling, right at the crossroads of the battlefield and the business front. We'll bring you tactics, triumphs, and truths from the trenches of sales. Here's your host, John Rankin.
Welcome to the Sales Platoon Podcast, where strategy meets storytelling, and we're right at the crossroads of the battlefield and the business front. I'm your host, John Rankin. I'm bringing you all the tactics and the triumphs and the truths from the trenches of sales and business. In today's episode, we're going to be decoding the transition from service to business with Keith Hemrichs. He's a veteran who started the largest SkillBridge community in the country. He has the largest group. He's doing amazing things. And I actually found him by accident and his group, and then ended up joining his group for Sales Platoon for our SkillBridge. And we've become really tight friends, and I wanted to bring him on the show and really talk about this idea of transition and what he's doing and how that can help you in your transition. Keith, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, I appreciate being on, John. It's an honor.
Yeah, thank you so much. So if you guys haven't seen our commercial yet, this guy is actually the guy who did it with his own music. So he's not just an entrepreneur, he's a musician, which that's kind of impressive because you're super creative and you're doing all this, you know, music and video. Tell me a little bit about that before we get into your military.
Yeah, sure, man. So my grandpa used to play guitar, and all of our family get-togethers, he would always break it out. And he would just be playing, you know, chords and stuff, and the whole family. It was a whole family thing. And that really inspired me from a young age. Got my first guitar when I was 14, didn't really learn how to play it until my mid 20s. And I'm still learning, you know, and I've recorded a couple of rock albums. One did really well. I learned that unless you're Miley Cyrus, there's no money in music, but it's a labor of love. I love it. Right. And yeah, you know, I did that for years and years and years, and then spent a year in Turkey, learned video production, and merged the two together, started a business, and did it locally and really honed the skill.
Now, you did this the entire time you were in the Air Force, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The audio stuff for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit. When did you join the Air Force? What'd you do in the Air Force? You know, talk to me about that.
Yeah, brother. So I joined in 2003. I joined because of a slice of pizza. Recruiter got me with the pepperoni pizza. I was supposed to go with a really good friend of mine. I made it. He didn't. Hated my first 6 years, dude. Hated it. And, you know, that's pretty typical. A lot of people do, you know. Separated, try to find a job. I applied for like 60, 70 jobs, which is also very common even back then. Best thing I could land was maybe, I think it was like $11 or $12 an hour. I bit the bullet. I thought I was biting the bullet. So I re-enlisted, and I have not looked back. And ever since that day, I've just been going 100,000 miles an hour to try to help people and show them that, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And if it is, you got to do your homework while you're still serving.
Yeah, I love that. And we will talk about that, about the preparatory stages for actually making that transition. So what did you do in the Air Force?
Yeah, man. So I started out refueling aircraft. It was POL, right? So if anybody POL watching this, who the hell, right? Best career field in the Air Force. You know what I mean? There's that, you know, you ever see that mug to where it's like, prove me wrong or whatever? Right. Of course I'm biased, right? I just did that, refueled aircraft, and then obviously I rose up in rank, and then I supervised people doing that and storing the fuel, issuing the fuel, accounting for the fuel, anything logistics. Did that, for 17 years. In the last 3 years, I was the career advisor for Ellsworth Air Force Base. And then that's whenever I really learned how not only the audio video stuff, but then how do you create content? How do you mold and teach people on a global scale? I was able to kind of make it all go full circle. And then that's really where SkillBridge Network came from.
All right. So talk to me about this. I mean, so you joined in 2003, you do 6 years. So it's 2009, which would have been a horrible time to get out because during the financial crash, the housing bubble. So you come back in. How quickly did you come back in? Did you wait a year? What was that time frame wise?
So a key point that we missed here, brother, was that I got in a lot of trouble whenever I was a young airman. So an E2, E3. And I was on the verge of getting kicked out. So I like one more piece of paperwork and I would have gotten the boot from the military. And it was an E4, Chris Powers, one of my best friends back then, that helped me pull my head out of my butt. And he showed me the way. So I would be in the middle of the distribution lounge, is what we called it, writing thousands and thousands of flashcards out of technical orders, out of Air Force instructions, like things that teach you how to do your job. So and that was at about my 3-ish to 4-year mark. So by the time I made it to 6 years, I had already gained a reputation as someone that was going to work really hard. So I reenlisted on day 59 of 60. And it was a phone call to an E7, a Master Sergeant Mikkonen, an amazing mentor of mine. And he called the commander, and it was like that same day my reenlistment paperwork was signed, obviously going across commander's desk, and then he signed it, and I was back in.
But you were out at this point, right? Or did you actually get all the way out and start applying for jobs?
Okay. I had 60 days, and day 59, I came back in.
Okay. All right. Wow. Yeah. So you weren't out very long. And then you came right back in. I don't even, does 60 days, less than 60 days even count as a break of service?
No, thank goodness it didn't.
Okay.
I was on terminal leave, so I was still part of the Air Force.
All right. So at what point did you start doing side hustles? What year was that?
Man, so I started a lawn care business whenever I was in the military. That was my first enlistment within my first 6 years. So I learned about profit and loss and hustle and all of that stuff way probably, I guess we're going off today's date, probably 17, 18 years ago.
Right. Okay. So when were you in Turkey that you started doing all the audio and.
Right. So that was from 2017 to 2018. And that's whenever I recorded the rock album. That's whenever I learned video production. And when I came back, I started Black Hills Audio Video Productions.
Okay. And then you got moved into the career counselor and started really doing it. So when did you start the SkillBridge Network?
Yeah. So that would have been November of 2020.
Oh, wow. So in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
Because you were out in California, right?
No, I was in South Dakota. South Dakota. COVID helped me with a lot of things, believe it or not. So I already had this vision of creating like a live streaming platform within my classroom as a career counselor, because I was also in charge of professional development for 5,000 plus people. So if I created this live streaming setup, which no way that would have gotten approved before COVID, but after COVID happened, we were able to create a platform for, non-commissioned officers to come into my classroom and teach subjects that would reach a global audience. And it was because of COVID that we were able to get the funding for that.
Right. Man, I had no clue that you did all this.
Oh, yeah, man. I can't stop thinking. It's a curse.
or maybe not.
Feels like a curse a lot of times.
So when did you find out about the skill program and SkillBridge program, and what motivated you to start that group?
Yeah. So like with anything in the government, I think SkillBridge is amazing. It's a phenomenal program, but I guess let's backtrack. I learned about it whenever I was the career counselor, the career advisor, you know, it was my job to know what SkillBridge was. So when people came in and I had one-on-one sessions with people, I could say, here's where you're at in your career. You're ready or you are not ready. But if you are kind of ready, here's a pathway that you can take, SkillBridge. And I learned pretty quick that there was a massive lack of communication with the program, and there was an even bigger lack of support. So I just started thinking, like, what can I do to help this, right? And I in no way in a thousand years expected SkillBridge Network to blow up the way it did. It just happened to.
Yeah. I was just talking with retired General Scott Brower earlier today about the SkillBridge program. And, you know, militarily, when you look at, we don't want to be paying unemployment for everybody getting out, but we have to be able to maintain force readiness and to fight two front wars. And we have a SkillBridge, the internal conflict of agendas makes it to where, do we want to promote this and tell everybody about it? Or do we want to keep it, you know, on the DL? And it really creates an interesting chemistry because, you know, we're roughly 12,000 people are getting out of the military every month. You know, we're replacing those numbers by whatever we're doing right now a month. If you imagined your job as a refueler, if all of a sudden everybody within their 6-month window went to SkillBridge, could you still conduct your mission?
You know? Right. So we could. You could. Absolutely, we could. You should always have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. I mean, that's the whole point. So whenever I was brought up in the military, we did a lot of that all the time. So if things failed, we were prepared. You know, granted, we had more people back then. But if I could, real quick, I kind of want to combat that thought process because that's not a misconception. That's a very real thing across the force. So the way I see it is that, yes, we all are getting paid to bring the fight forward. You know, I get that. But and while that's our number one priority, we also need to make sure that we are also helping people out from the get-go, from day one, from their mid-career, all the way out whenever they're separated. And then you wouldn't have as much of a recruiting issue because you would have me, you'd have you, you'd have everybody else that said, hey, you need to come check this out. Because even if you do 4 years, you're set up for life. And can we truly say that right now? You know?
No. We can. No, so actually, this is one of the things I've been talking about with my cohort, my current SkillBridge cohort. And then I did some stuff on it just here recently. So I don't know about the Air Force, but in the Army, we have a concept of how do we backwards plan missions, right? So if I have to be at the airfield at 1800 and the airfield is in Turkey, well, what time do I have to leave the United States by? Right. And then I got a plan for contingencies, flight delays, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I back it up a little bit further. Well, if I'm going to fly from Nashville, Tennessee, traffic's kind of nutty. So then I have to back up another 2 or 3 hours to plan for those contingencies. Right. And so if we backwards plan from where I'm sitting at today to I have to be on the airfield in Turkey in 2 days, I should know how to do every step of the process. So in the Army, we do that for everything, even for just regular PT. Right. The only area that I never see anybody do it in is what does Keith do when he gets out of the Army? So whether we serve 2 years or 20 years, we don't do any backwards planning of what life looks like after service.
Right. You know, all we have on an Air Force standpoint is we had what was called an informed decision brief that was mandatory for career advisors in my prior position. And we had to give that brief to people that were essentially halfway through their career as first term and second term enlistees, you know. And but that was it, man. And it wasn't very effective. I'm with you. We need to overhaul the whole process. The whole thing needs to be, hey, you're in the military. I'm set for life. And I got to do some really cool stuff along the way.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, just, you know, not really a point of the discussion with you, but I've been talking with a couple of people about this. So you think about this. So we have the TSP or whatever they call it now, which is not really that great of an investment strategy. I mean, it will give you a little bit of money, but it's not really that good. So instead of giving to our TSP program, what if instead we opened up a whole life insurance policy the day that we joined service, and every month we put in $250, just an allotment. Every time we get promoted, we raise that allotment by $50, $100. If you did that and you served 20 years, by the time you're done with your term of service on just a whole life insurance policy you don't do anything with, you're going to have roughly between $750 to $1.5 million in an account. Now, if we did that plus we bought a real estate investment property to live in every time we PCS'd, which I don't know how often you guys PCS in the Air Force, but in the Army, it's every 3 to 4 years, maybe five. So by the time you get done with your 20 years, you should have 4 to 6 investment properties that are cash flowing. If you think about that, now you're 38 years old, you have somewhere between $750,000 to $1.5 million in an insurance policy that you can borrow against or take cash out on. Then you have 4 to 6 investment properties that are cash flowing you $2,000 to $3,000 a month, plus retirement, plus disability. At that point, you truly have the ability to tell everybody to go pound sand.
Yeah.
I can work if I want. I can work if I don't want.
Right.
But who's teaching that to anybody?
Nobody.
Nobody, right?
That's not, as a matter of fact, even as a career advisor, this is the first time that I've ever heard of what you just said. I've never heard that before. Yeah. I mean, obviously the PCS buy properties and stuff, and some people do that, but as far as the life insurance policy.
So in my last cohort, I had 3 individuals, all were, you know, one was a warrant officer, one was a higher Air Force enlisted guy, and one was a Army guy. They all owned apartment complexes.
That's awesome. Between
the 3 of them, they had $10 million in net worth just in property.
Right. That is awesome.
The Air Force guy, he was an E6 or an E7 when he got out, got a job at Boeing for $125,000 a year. And he told me that he was the driver for the, what do you guys call a 05?
Lieutenant Colonel.
Oh, it's still a Lieutenant Colonel for you?
Yeah.
So it's Lieutenant Colonel. His Lieutenant Colonel that he was driving for said, he was a young private or airman or whatever, said, you need to set yourself up for success. And she actually took the time to mentor him and teach him how to become financially savvy, right?
There's the key, dude. That's the key. Who are the people that are taking folks to the education office, that are taking them to the Military Family Readiness Center, that are spending 30 to 45 minutes, at least 30, 45 minutes a week, you know, to actually sit down and talk to people and ask them what their goals are.
So not only that, but it doesn't even have to be our military. Like I try to tell people about this all the time. So if I was an insurance agent, for example, like I would pitch my tent right outside the front gate and I would try to pick up every swinging Joe and tell them, do you realize the opportunity you have if you spend 20 years here? Let me show you. I don't care if you buy my stuff or not. Let me show you the possibility. If I was a real estate agent, I would set up free home buying investment courses for soldiers to teach them or military to teach them. Do you know what you could do with 4 to 5 properties, 6 properties over the next 20 years? What does that look like on this sheet of paper?
I think that's a freaking phenomenal mindset, man. And it's not one that I have ever, I guess maybe my last 3 years, but nowhere near like the complexity of what you're talking about. Because so I'm 18, I joined the military. What the hell do I know about investing in the real estate? Nothing, you know, and that goes all the way through my entire 20-year career. So there is so much value in what you just said that's untapped. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah. Well, and now you look at, like, for you, you have this entire huge network, what are you up to now? 60,000, I think?
I think 63 or 4,000, 63,000.
I get alerts all day long from your group. I'm like, this dude is crushing it. And so we have a platform that we could educate in so many different ways. And that's what I love about you, and the way that you're just open to information and how you manage that community. It's been super, 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 super impressive to me. So you're in this career counseling position. How did you decide to start that group? What was the motivation?
Well, the motivation is that I never stopped thinking. The motivation is because I was raised to help people. The motivation is that you don't drive past someone that has a flat tire and keep driving. You stop and you help that person out because it's the right thing to do. So there's an intrinsic motivation based on how I was raised. And that's always been with me. So I grew up in a small town, 165 people. And I spent all of my summertime almost on my uncle's farm. He had 2,000 acres. So I used to work very, very, very hard for $10 a day, you know, and I built a lot of character. And I hated it at the time, but that character and that drive to legitimately want to help other people out, because I feel like that's the reason we're here on this earth. I think once you combine those two, and my brain doesn't stop. So anytime I see an opportunity to help other people or build something bigger or whatever, I'm all in, and I just become obsessed with it. Yeah. But I guess to answer your question, it was specifically the group started because there was a need. I discovered that there was a need for the communication part and the support part with the DoD Skill Bridge program. And as a career counselor, I just took what I was doing locally and then just started going global.
Yeah. So you've got this group, largest community, like even the DoD Skill Bridge group doesn't have anywhere close to the amount of people you do, which I find incredibly funny. So inside your group, you've got this really great platform that allows people to go in to basically crowdsource what are good skill bridges, what are bad skill bridges, what are the opportunities that are out there. What do you think are some of the trends that you're seeing from the group itself?
So the trend is something that I want to create, and it's been very difficult at times because you'll get companies that want to come in. I don't know who they are, you know, and then they just start blasting posts everywhere, right? So I delete those posts and then they get upset. But I want everybody to understand that if you have a good program, people are going to talk about it. And when people are talking about it, namely transitioning service members, your platform, your opportunity can become unbelievably valuable. It can be so popular if you're doing it the right way, you're taking care of people. And that's kind of my thought process with all of that, you know, is let the community decide what is good and what's bad. If you'll notice, if you're on that group, you'll have so many posts of, has anybody done this? Has anybody done that? Has anybody worked here? And there is so much talent that is funneled over to companies based on word of mouth that it's mind blowing. Crazy. Yeah,
I love this part about what you're doing too. So you think about this. So your group's got 63,000 just for a second. So you have one, that's a very large Facebook group, very large. I've seen a couple that are bigger, but you know, they're worldwide groups, right? This isn't really worldwide. It's very niche, less than 6% of the population. So we're losing 12,000 members a month. So kind of push on you a little bit. How do you grow that group to accommodate 12,000 a month? How do we spread that to 12,000?
So the only way that I know how, and one thing that I need to do better, is to be a lot more involved with live streams to put my career advisor hat back on.
Yep.
Because I have so much knowledge up here and I have so many connections now that I plan on bringing into the group and start creating just massive amounts of content that are going to specifically answer questions. But you got to put yourself in my shoes to where I still have to pay the bills. You know what I mean? And
let's talk about that for a second, because I don't think most people know you're not making money off that group.
I have seven partners that pay $100 a month. So I make 700, I think, after Patreon takes its cut, I think I make about 600 something a month. So I think there's so many people that think that I'm just raking in like all of this money, and that couldn't be further from the truth, man. I'm over here, it's a labor of love, and I 6,000-7,000 hours with this platform. And there's been times where I've just want to throw in the towel, you know, like, what am I doing this for? You know, but it's because I like to help people, and I'm not going to let it fail. So I think to answer your question, it's going to have to be create the most beneficial resource group in existence. We're not there yet. It's not that yet.
Well, I think it is. Like, I haven't seen anybody that offers as much value. It may not be as big as you want it to be, But tell me another group that's doing the job better than you are.
Right. I don't want to be arrogant, though. You know what I mean? Because when you have 12,000 people that are getting out a month and I only have 2,000 to 3,000 people that are joining, how many thousands of people is that I'm not helping that I really want to help that are E4s and E5s and E6s? That's who really want to help, you know? And I got a lot of work to do on Facebook and TikTok and YouTube because Skillbridge Network isn't just a Facebook group. It's all of the social media groups.
Are you you're on TikTok?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So
I still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go follow you there.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were on TikTok. So
yeah.
Now, if you're in active status, don't download TikTok. We'll throw our exemption hat in there for DOD because they're not supposed to have it.
Oh,
but
I didn't.
We're both out.
Okay. I didn't
well, maybe
know that.
The Air Force doesn't care, but the Army made a big stink about it.
I can promise you that every E2, E1, E2, E3 has it anyway.
I know. Yeah. So that's really actually a great idea, right? So like cultivating on the Facebook and I think TikTok is far better option if you really want to grow that group, right?
Yes.
And especially with the younger crowd and understanding that most of the people getting out are going to be in that 25 probably year old range, right? So talk to me strategy wise, like what's that look like for you over the next 3 to 6 months? How do you implement that? And what do you need to get that implemented? Because this podcast is going to go out to everybody. You're going to be one of the first episodes that gets publicly released. So what do you need to make that actually a reality?
John, a dream come true for me would be to have like 20 partners, 30 partners, you know what I mean? To where I'm making like an extra $3,000 a month. And on top of my retirement, on top of my VA disability, and then if I had just that much coming in, I mean, that would be my job. I don't need or want a whole bunch of money. My parents won the lottery in 2009. They did. I did not. Right. And I'm glad that they won it after I left. So it's not, I don't care about the money, man. It's not about the money. It's always about helping that person that was me in 2009.
Yeah.
And I think that once my studio is built, like before we started recording, I was talking about, I completely demolished the whole thing so I can finish it with drywall and all that stuff and then put the green screen up. Once I have that ready to go, you're going to see some serious stuff happen over the next 2 to 3 months as far as content goes. And I just hope that when you have the content and you have the message, you have the trust, you have the good information, that maybe more companies will see that. And then hopefully they will capitalize on what I'm doing here and how social media actually works. If you just do like a post and forget about it, you're not going to get much ROI at all. You have to be highly engaged. And the point of that, what I'm trying to do is kind of corner myself into a very specific niche like that, if you will, to where we work together and I help them create content that they can use anywhere, you know, not just in Facebook, to source and recruit military members. And that's what I'm really trying to get after.
Root Brands Wellness's Zero In offers a competitive edge over other nootropics like Joe Rogan's Alpha Brain by focusing on natural gut health axis optimization, providing clearer cognitive function and sustained attention without artificial stimulants. Travelers will benefit from enhanced mental clarity during long journeys, while entrepreneurs and business owners can leverage improved focus for strategic planning and execution. Elevate your mental game beyond conventional limits and outperform your competition with Zero In today.
So just a thought, like, I don't know if you've thought about this or not, because you used to be a career counselor. Have you thought about just circulating your group to all the CSP and Skillbridge coordinators at each military installation?
I have thought about it, but then there comes that ethics part of it, to where if I'm making money off of it, you know, I don't want to... It probably, you know, it doesn't, but I got in trouble whenever I was still active duty because
when you were active, that was one thing.
Yeah.
That's one thing, but now you're not active anymore, brother.
Right. So, I mean, having that obviously would, because it's not like I'm not doing this just for the money. I've already made that clear, right? And I know that it's a tool that would really, really help. And if I was able to get all of the career counselors, career advisors on board, to where we all work together as a team to create something that could be instructed at the lowest level possible. That would be awesome. It's going to happen anyway, because I'm going to create that, but it would be really cool to have everybody's input.
There's a roundabout way that you could do this, which is that we could just pay my VA to go scrape all the data from all the military sites for all the CSP and all the SkillBridge program coordinators, managers, and then we just manually go through and add them on Facebook to your group.
I'm kind of wondering, like, how many of them are already in there anyway, you know, because there are a ton of career counselors in there. I know that, but I still think that, yeah, if you could scrape it and then, what would you shoot them an email or?
No, I would just go to Facebook, friend them on Facebook, and then invite them to the group.
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even say anything. I would just invite them. And then,
right.
Because look, you know, I've been in the group now for a year. And there's so much value in there. Like, I still can't believe people haven't heard, right? Like,
right.
There's still people in the military that have never heard of the SkillBridge program. So guerrilla marketing, like, I would just go add all those people so they become your unwitting ambassadors that go, well, you know, like, I'm in this group. And they just start kind of organically spreading the word throughout all the installations that here's this free resource for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a great idea, man. And, you know, I added the military transition hub in, parentheses, if you will. And it's not just SkillBridge. So,
yeah, it's CSP and
it even goes way above that. Like, if it has anything to do with the military transition, I've kind of opened the group up for that to be a Q&A. The only difficult part about that is whenever you get people that have an ego or are arrogant, you know, I'm kind of a strike three person, but if it's really bad, they're getting one strike and I'll boot them. So I spend
You want me to do some more controversial posts so you can get rid of those people.
I know, right? I spend a lot of time on that platform trying to make sure that the culture is correct.
Yeah, dude, you do a lot of babysitting. I saw it. That post, man.
Oh, that was awesome, dude. Like, that caught the whole thing on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I noticed too, like, you took that same concept, went to LinkedIn, you went to yours or whatever. But what blows my mind about that more than anything is how people can't see the truth in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. For context, John had made a post that said every transitioning service member, if you're a veteran, you should be getting paid at least $30 an hour, I think is what it said, right? Yep. Which really isn't that good.
No, it's not good money, man.
That's good for Rapid City, South Dakota. You know, like me, and like if myself and the other seven people that lived here made that, I mean, we'd be doing great. But if you live in like New York or California, $30 an hour really isn't that great. But there were people dogging that.
Yeah. Well, so... And it's because we can't understand. I was just having this conversation earlier. So it is true. Nobody owes us anything because we volunteered. We were not drafted. Yep. Nobody in this group. I mean, well, I shouldn't say nobody, but I don't think there's any Vietnam veterans in your group. Okay. So none of us were drafted. None of us were forced into service. We all volunteered. So nobody owes us anything. I totally agree.
The same. But
there's a difference between what's owed to me and what I'm worth.
Right.
And I think our military experience, and I mean, even if that's you were the cook or the, you know, the guy changing out toilet paper rolls, it doesn't matter. Just by going through the boot camp or the basic or whatever each individual branch calls it, separates you from the other 93% of our culture, right? Mm-hmm. I think that intrinsically has value. And even if you weren't maybe necessarily the best airman or the best soldier, or the best Marine or the best sailor, you still did something that 93% of our culture couldn't do.
Right.
And I think that's worth something. So it's not that anybody owes us. It's our intrinsic value. You know?
Right.
It was so funny, dude.
I love that you come in with that angle because I don't have that experience. None of us have that experience. I mean, you're a freaking G, right? I really look up to you, right? I have ever since I've known you, and I found out that you're awesome, you're authentic, and you're the real deal, right? But I'm trying to attack it from the, hey, here's what John just said, right?
Yeah.
But if you actually go in and you learn your job to a T and you try really hard when you're in the military, you avoid the drama. If you capitalize on your education and your certifications and you have an open mind, dude, it's the
I'm glad you brought that up because I don't actually see it that much in your group. And now that you've opened up to all the transition, maybe we could do something with this to actually discuss this. But the COOL program for all four branches will give you up to $4,000 to attain certifications, education, you know, certificates, all that kind of different stuff. And if you just did this one thing, if you went and got your tax accountant license, right? You can make during tax season an extra $20,000-$30,000.
Yeah. It's awesome, man.
Yeah. And you can actually use the COOL money to pay for those kind of certifications to where when you got out, you could have a side hustle or a full-time hustle that the Army or the Air Force or the Navy or the Marine Corps paid for.
Right. I mean, I don't care if you're kicking in doors, if you're pumping gas, if you are building bombs, you can get certifications in something. You can get a degree in something. And while you're serving, you can volunteer time to get the experience and then close your gaps.
That's right. I found it's a crazy job. They pay really good. It's like $90 an hour, but it's a really hard job. But they've got this chemical compound that basically for fuel tanks that eliminates rust. Like it prevents it from rusting, right? Now, these guys are making, they start at $45 an hour, but they travel. So they get travel incidentals and then they get, per diem, but then they also get overtime because they're traveling. So by the time it's all said and done, they're making like $90 an hour. Do you know what the prerequisite for that job is?
No idea.
That you can stand for 8 hours a day and hold your hand over your head.
Oh my gosh.
$90 an hour, bro. Now, it's a tough job.
That's nuts.
But
yeah, but so is construction.
That's right.
That pays $15 an hour, you know?
That's right. So this idea that we can't get $30 an hour and everybody got upset about it, I go, you might say that, but right over here, I've got a company that wants to hire guys that are willing to stand in El Paso, Texas for 8 hours doing this.
Well, that's because you're talking to people that are still active duty and you've been, they don't understand and they won't until year two or three, maybe, unless they're lucky, right? After they've been out and a veteran. So,
well, I mean, here's the great thing about your platform, right? So we can actually network with companies. And I've done this with my SkillBridge program. I won't work with a company that's not at a minimum paying $30 an hour.
Right.
So we have companies that are hitting this up and want a labor. And I'm like, you don't pay enough. Sorry.
Same. Yeah. I get requests like that all the time and I don't want them in the group.
Yep. So we're just two guys, but imagine we get another two guys that think like us, another two guys that think like us. And then pretty soon we could take the entire 2 million person force and all of them are educated to know that when you transition, there's a place for you. You don't have to beg for table scraps.
Right. Nor should you.
And nor should you. Yeah. And I love that portion of what you're doing and that we've so connected in that area and we think alike in that area. So, and I'm in the show, I'm going to attach the commercial you did for us. Out so everybody can see what you did. For those of you who don't know him and don't know our connection with him, I don't even know. We hadn't known each other that long, like maybe a week or two. And I was like, hey, I saw you did this for Herb. Herb is one of my friends. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'll do one for you. And I was like, really? I was like, I don't care what this guy needs. I'll do whatever he needs. You know, because you just that whole thing you were talking about. I just want to help people. And you did a really badass commercial with your own music for nothing and never asked me for a thing.
To me, I don't understand why that's such a big deal. If anybody asked, I would do that.
Yeah. And it's really well done. I mean, so I loved it. So what's next for the SkillBridge community? What's next for the SkillBridge network? And, you know, where can people find you at? I know on LinkedIn, you got a really big presence. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So, it's just on Facebook really more than anything. And you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I would just ask, don't follow me, connect with me, especially if you like to have conversations like this, because that motivates the heck out of me. Other people that that really want to help other people out. You're not in it for the money. And what the future of SkillBridge Network is a lot of content. So I am going to, I already have the plan to where I'm going to start creating content and categorizing the videos and playlists on YouTube, because since the beginning of SkillBridge, November of 2020, there's been, I think, close to 200,000 questions, and then there's 500,000 reactions and comments and all that that go with it, right? So over the years, I've kind of learned all the different pain points. So I want to create some content around that to start answering those questions. But I'm going to start being a heck of a lot more active on Instagram and TikTok.
All right. What's the plan for Instagram?
Just short reels. Everything in my mind is a really short, like, here's your problem, I have your solution in 30 seconds. And if you want to learn more about it, here's the 10-minute video that you can link to.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a pretty, how many people you got subscribed on your YouTube?
YouTube isn't nearly as much as, I think I just hit 1700 something or another.
Have you done a push inside the actual group for them to all?
Yeah. A few times, but YouTube, it's more going to be its own algorithm that helps you out. And then I haven't put in nearly the work to capitalize on that.
So and we can talk about this offline, but so you should go live in your group. And you should be doing that regularly anyway, every week. They should see your face, right? But go live in your group and then do a drawing for some sort of package, whatever it is, where everybody who joins your YouTube channel will get entered into the drawing to win, you know, a pack of bubble gum, whatever you do, right? And then that way you use that to bolster your YouTube, and then you build your YouTube that way. You can even put it as one of the questions that they have to answer when they join your Facebook.
Right.
Say, have you joined our YouTube channel?
I do have that.
So
I just feel like there needs to be more value on YouTube. I don't think there's enough value there for people to stick around, because I haven't put in the time on that platform that I should.
Yeah. Well, the great news is with the technology, you'll be able to do it all on one platform and then distribute it.
Right. So, yeah.
You know, you'll be able to do that. So yeah. Tell me the Facebook group's website, because it's facebook.com/.
So yeah, just SkillBridge Network. If you type in DoD SkillBridge or SkillBridge Network on Facebook, it's going to pop up. It's the largest. Yeah.
Yep. Good. All right. And then listen, guys, so you heard him, he's not making any money. So when you join the community, go check out his Patreon, support him, follow him, donate to that, help him, because the stuff that he's doing inside that group is super valuable to all the transitioning soldiers and airmen and sailors and Marines. And it's just such a great resource. I'm glad you were able to come on to the show.
Man, I appreciate it, brother. It's good to see you, man. And until next time.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you later.
Follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Sales Platoon for more updates and veteran success stories. Join us next time as we continue to decode the art of selling through the unique perspectives of those who've served.